Thank you, Jeff. I'm excited about getting a start today and what we're going to be talking through for the next 4 weeks. We have a series where we are looking at for Christmas, and this being the Christmas season, and obviously with what we were singing today and celebrating Advent and selling the birth of our Savior and all of that, these next 4 weeks, what we have felt led to do is to basically just really hone in on what on who Jesus is. And in fact, more specifically, one of the things that, you know, I just felt led to do was to teach on revealing the treasure of Christ, who He is. You know, it's one of those things. I don't know if you ever find yourself in moments where you recognize just how awesome something is. Like the more you get to know it. And I think it's true for our relationship with Christ. The more that we get to know Him and the more that we know about Him, the more amazing He becomes to us, the more that we learn. And so, you know, and starting this morning, we're going to be doing 4 weeks on who is this person in Jesus that we see when we see this person that is born in a manger. You know, who is He? You know, what's He about? You know, we know that He's our Savior. We know He's the Son of God. But there are things that we know about Him, but that we don't spend much time, I think, thinking about Him. And this morning we start with Creator, that Jesus is the Creator. We're going to talk about Jesus being the Creator, the Sustainer, the Redeemer, and King. And so as we go over these next 4 weeks, I just want to encourage you. This is a great opportunity, great time to be able to invite somebody, maybe even to come to church, maybe that doesn't go to church regularly. Just think that somebody, it's Christmas time, you know. It's like this okay excuse for us to get to invite people sometimes that otherwise may not, you know, want us to invite them. Here's the deal. If we really believe our faith, if we really believe that God has saved us through Christ, and that we come to a church where we worship Him, and that's what we teach, and that is the gospel, that is the good news of the gospel, then you know what? They would more than likely be more appreciative that we invited them, even if they didn't want to come, than if we never invited them at all. I mean, if we really believe that, because to them, that says this. They believe that, and they believe it so much that they also care for me enough to actually ask me to come with them. And so whether it's coming on a Sunday morning or whether it's joining you in a missional community, a home team, house church during the week, whatever, that you could, you know, invite people to be a part of spending time with you and hearing about Christ, then, you know, so do it. I just encourage you with that. But this morning we're going to be talking about Jesus the Creator. Creating is one of those things that, you know, I think that, you know, we think about as creators. We're not really creators. We're more like builders, you know. The truth is like God created out of nothing. In fact, if you've got your Bible, I want you to go ahead and pull it out. We're going to go to Genesis 1. And in Genesis 1, we'll see how God did a little bit of creating here. If you don't have a Bible, throw your hand up. We've got ushers. They're going to walk to the front and back, and they would be glad to loan you a Bible for you to be able to use. And if you don't own one, we want to give that one to you. But either way, if you don't have one, grab one, because we're going to be looking at some stuff. I'm sure you're going to want to look at this. Just throw your hand up and let them give you one. And so we've got some, I know, down here in the front. Carrie will get to them, I know, eventually. But Genesis 1, she's all over the place today. Run her around. That's good for her. Genesis 1, in verse 3, very beginning of the Bible here, We see Jesus beginning the process of creating, okay? And here it is in verse 3, and it says this, Genesis 1, 3. It says, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light." So just out of nothing, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Now here's the difference. Here's one of the more fascinating pieces about differences between who we are and who God is, in the ability that He has to do something that we cannot do. We, you and I, cannot speak things into existence. Not only can we not speak the house into being clean, we can't speak something out of nothing. You know what I'm saying? We don't have that ability. That's not in us. Now, we can be creative, And we can build stuff out of the things that God has given us, because we can say, well, you know, I could write this and that would be creative. Well, yeah, but you're using words, you're using a language, you know. So, I mean, at the end of the day, we're always taking something, whether we're building, you know, working on a house, or whether we're taking steel and, you know, machining it, or, you know, whatever it may be. We're taking things that are tangible, that already exist, and we're using them to build. God doesn't build, God creates. That's a big deal. And if you look at Genesis 1, we're not going to walk through the whole thing, but if you just look right there, you will see that as you go down through there, it says, and God said, and God said, and God said, and you'll see it. Just going down through there, you'll see 10 times it says, and God said. And it ends with, and God said. The last "and God said," by the way, is, and God said, be fruitful and multiply. That's a good one, by the way, okay? And so we've got, and God said, and so basically God speaks, you get this, he's speaking things into existence. I mean, like, we're doing good to just, like, try to get the trash out most days. Like, oh my gosh, the truck, we're going to miss the truck, you know, make sure you get, you know, who's going to fight, like, which kid's going to get it, or, you know, well, everybody's already to school, I guess I'm going to get it, or we're going to smell it for the rest, you know, rest of the week. You know, I mean, that's our mentality. Like, we wish we could just speak something like that into happening. Like let's just speak the trash to get into the road once a week or something. God has an amazing ability to create. And create he did. If you go to Colossians 1, that's where we're going to spend most of our time today, in Colossians 1. And in Colossians 1, we have this passage that we're going to read from today that shows us a little bit about who Jesus is as the Creator. And so I want you to turn to this, Colossians 1, verse 15. And we see this amazing, amazing Creator. And we see Him at work. Now, I think for a lot of us, I think we get to this time of year and we want to, like, to sing songs about, like, the Will Ferrell baby Jesus. You know, it's like that's the Jesus that we want this time of year. We're just wanting baby Jesus, and we got our nativity scene set up and all that kind of stuff, and that's fine, that's good. But I think that it's important for us to understand that this is not just a baby, but this is the Creator of the universe. I mean, write some nursery rhymes about that, you know, like that your kid is the creator of the universe, okay? I mean, that's who Jesus is, and that's who Scripture shows us, as we're going to find out who He is. And so we're going to start with verse 16, and it says this, I'm sorry, verse 15 of Colossians 1, and it says this, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Right off the bat, I mean, these are big pieces of a puzzle. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Well, we know that we too, as man, were created in the image of God. So it shouldn't be too surprising to us that Jesus Himself is the image of the invisible God. And so we have this understanding that as God the Father sent His Son Jesus to live on this earth, He sent Him in His own image. Now, of course, we have a lot of depictions of Jesus. You know, we don't have, you know, like anybody, nobody even, you know, there weren't even Polaroids back then. So, I mean, we're just going completely on, you know, just ideas and concepts and that kind of thing. And just to bust everybody's bubble, maybe, you know, Jesus wasn't white. You know, He was, you know, more likely kind of a Middle Eastern, you know, kind of a, you know, complexion. And, you know, so, you know, for us just to even kind of just get this, you know, understanding that He is the image of the invisible God, and we're going to want to automatically go to, like, that picture that was hanging on our grandma's dining room's wall, you know, and we're like, oh yeah, I remember Jesus. Yeah, He stared at me for years there, you know. That's not Jesus, okay? That's just a painting. But it's a nice thought. And so, you know, for us just to kind of keep in mind, you know, whoever He was, they got to see what could have possibly been the actual image of, like, the actual Father. I think that it's okay to think about that and think that that was a possibility here. But He was and is the image of the invisible God. And not only that, but the firstborn of all creation. And I think if we're not careful, we'll take that and we'll go too far with the firstborn of all creation, because it almost sounds like that, you know, God the Father maybe created Jesus, and that's not necessarily true. And we'll see that in some other scripture here in just a minute to kind of clarify. Really what it's getting at here is it's trying to set Jesus apart from the creation itself. It's trying to help us to see that He was not a part of the creation. And we'll have some other scripture to help with that in just a minute. Verse 16, it goes on, it says this. It says, "For by Him..." Check this out. I mean, this is super huge today. Verse 16, going to rock your world today. "For by Him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through Him and for Him." We're going to camp on this. It says, "For by Him all things were created." And literally right there, if you want to go kind of a literal wording, you could actually interchange this "for in Him all things were created." And so the meaning of what could be, and I think what is behind "for in Him all things were created," is it's trying to help us to have a feeling and an understanding that Jesus Himself in Him created these things. He didn't just speak them out loud. He didn't, you know, it wasn't just like, you know, just off the cuff. He just, you know, like just made it up, you know, kind of. No, I mean, He conceived creation. You know what I'm saying? Like, He conceived it. Like, you and I might sit around and we might plot, you know, some plans. Like, some of you are already doing today. You're thinking about, like, okay, as soon as we get out of church today, we're going to go here and we're going to eat, and then we're going to go here and we're going to go shopping, and we're going to go here and we're going to go more shopping, and then we're going to go here and we're going to try and get that trash out of the house, okay? And so, you know, you're plotting and you're making the plans and you're doing the thing, but Jesus, I mean, like, He conceived creation. You're talking about somebody that's an author and a writer, a designer, an architect. He was the architect for creation. I mean, think about what all that entails. In fact, it goes on. It goes on to say all things for by Him, or we could say in Him, He conceived, all things were created. All things, okay? All things. And it goes on and it clarifies some of what all things are. And it says this. It says, "In heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities." And I think that this is very time appropriate to when, God was using Paul to pen this, you know, at that moment in time, especially when he's writing this to the people and they're understanding, and we can still understand this today, that even the people that we look at and we think, man, they have the ultimate authority in this world, it's like Jesus has still got the trump card on that. He's like, bam, created it, bam, made it, bam, been there, done that. In heaven and on earth. I mean, heaven and on earth, all right? Talking about, like, He didn't just make the stuff that we see. He didn't just make earth. He made heaven, okay? Created it, conceived it, designed it, spoke it into existence. And then goes further, says, visible and invisible. So, I mean, there's all kinds of things that are visible. We go out into nature and we see, you know, all of God's creation. We can see trees and birds and animals and, you know, all the stuff, you know, but then there's stuff we can't see. I mean, think about seventh grade biology. I wish Elena was in here because she's good with this stuff. Like, she was a teacher, biology teacher. You know, but you think about, like, all the stuff that, like, you never knew existed until you got to about that age where you start to use a microscope. And you start looking through the microscope to see all of these little living creatures, and you're like, whoa. You know, remember the paramecium? I loved that guy. You know, he had little things all the way around him all the time. I don't know why that was. He always looked like a watermelon or something to me in the drawings and stuff. You know, but you know, you've got all that stuff that we don't even see. We've got stuff that we can't find in a microscope that we still can't see. Like, take wind, for example. You know? He created wind. He created things that we do see, created things that we don't see. visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. We kind of covered that one. I mean, basically anything that we can come up with. And just in case we're not clear, he goes on right after that and says, all things were created through him and for him. All things created through him and for him. Now, good leaders delegate. If you're a leader, then you know this. Good leaders delegate. They don't try to do everything. This is hard for most people. It's hard for me. I struggle with it sometimes. Don't always want to give things away because I've been doing them for a long time or, you know, whatever. But as an organization and this situation, our church, as it's grown, there have been things that I've had to give away that have pained me, honestly. And sometimes there are things that, I've been like, I will never not do that. I will always be the one to do that. And then, you know, it grows and I know that I'm not being, you know, a good steward with my time if I continue to do it all. You know, and it, maybe in your even in your household or if you manage people at your workplace or whatever, you know, you understand delegation is one of those things that's very important. You know, and you would think, I mean, I would think, this is just me. I mean, if I'm Jesus and I'm just going, you know, well, you know, I'm going to be a good leader here, and I'm going to delegate some of this stuff out. Like, you know, man, I'll just be honest with you. I really don't feel like messing with all those animals. Like, man, that's a whole lot to think about. I mean, think about that for just a second. Think about the animals. Think about the animals that we like. Think about the ones that we don't. Think about the ones that we never see. Think about the ones that are in the water. Think about the ones that are in the air. I mean, it's a lot of stuff to think through. Jesus conceived every ounce of that. And in my world, I'm just thinking, if I'm Jesus, I'm like, hey, angel, yeah, you with the blue wings, get over here and you're on the animals, all right? I'm going to let you have a little bit of my power and you just free reign on the animals because, to be honest with you, I really don't care about them, all right? Let's just put it, you know. But he doesn't do that because he did care. And so he conceived every single one of them. And we know that because it says that all things were created through him. All things were created through him. And so we've got the understanding that he conceived it, that for in him all things were created, and then later on that all things were created through him, but then comes like this huge, I mean, just like whopper of a deal right here. And it says, the last two words, and for him. For him. All things were created, not just through him, not just in him, not just by him, but for him. This is our little baby in a manger. You remember that, right? Like, this is our little baby in a manger. He was born to a virgin young mother. This little baby, where shepherds come, guys come bring, you know, frankincense and myrrh and these, you know, rich, you know, type presents, basically. They come to worship him. Why? Why? Why would they come and worship a baby? They did so because they understand this. All things were created for him. Think about this for just a second. God of the universe. God of the universe. God of the universe deserves glory and praise because he is sovereign over all things. Okay? We have to kind of start there. For us to understand that because God is sovereign and because God is unbelievable, that everything has to worship him. And so, the responsibility that Jesus had, there really is almost, I don't want to say that there is, but there really is almost a responsibility that Jesus had to create creation so that something would glorify God. Think about that. God deserves it. God deserves it, and so he created all things for him. If you're looking for purpose in your life, by the way, if you're struggling with, like, what is my life for, that's it, for him. Now, here's our daily dilemma. We'll just call it that. We'll alliterate a little bit for you. A little daily dilemma for most of us, I would say for all of us, is this, that we like for creation and anything we can conceive in our thoughts, not to necessarily be for him, but for us. Because we love for us, right? You guys love for us. I love for us. I love for me, you know? I mean, for me is awesome. Anytime somebody's doing something for me, that's awesome. Like back massage, for me, awesome, all right? I mean, it's just true. It's a true story. I love it. You know, and I mean, that's the way, that's our outlook. You know, that's the center, that's the sin nature in us that we want everything to be for us. And so what happens is, see, we're constantly worshiping. We don't realize this, but we're constantly worshiping. And so what happens is we take these little things that were for him. He created all things, right? Why? For him, okay? So that's their purpose. And then we take them, and then we're like, oh, I like that. That's for me. So then we make it for us, right? And so then what happens is, like, because we're taking what was for him and we're making it for us, we, instead of us being for him and worshiping him, we begin to, like, worship that, like, oh, I love you, back massage, you're awesome, you know? And this is our sin struggle for almost everything we can come up with in our lives. Like, whether it's like relationships with people, and like I want them to think this about me, or I want to own that, or I want to, you know, whatever it is. I mean, just come up with your thing. Your struggle, you know, and so for us to understand that Jesus, as the creator of the world, created all things, but he didn't just do it without, you know, just some random, you know, purpose. He did it for him. He did it for his glory. He did it so that the world, that the universe, that creation would worship him, recognize him, glorify him, bring him fame, imitate him, be for him. One of the guys in the church is working on a house right now, and he shows me pictures from time to time of this amazing house that they're working on. It's huge, and kind of one of these kind of millionaire type deals, and no lie, and it's wow, it's just unbelievable. One of the things about this house is, I mean, it's big in of itself. I mean, it's incredible that it's as big as it is. But then on top of that, it doesn't have like the roof that I'm guessing that your house, or at least my house, has. Like, my roof, just like, you know, it's just a roof. You know, it's just, you know, it's flat things, and they kind of come together to a point. No big deal. You know, nothing fancy. It's a roof. You know, but on this house does one of these numbers. It's like a semicircle. The whole thing. Of course, it's huge. You know, you got to come back to that. This is a big old thing. I mean, I forget how many square feet. It's ridiculous. And he was showing me, I was looking at this thing, and he's like, yeah, he said, I pretty much have cut all of the boards for all of the trusses for that roof. And I was like, what? How do you know what to even do with that? Like, I'm not a construction guy. I'm not a builder. Like, I'm fascinated with stuff. I like watching the stuff go together. I like to learn about it. You know, and so he shows me some pictures. He's got pictures of like these 2x12s, and he's got two of them, and they're laid out on a pair of sawhorses, and big long 2x12s, and he's showing me, he's like these two pieces of wood were the same piece of wood when I started, but one was sitting there and he hadn't messed with it yet, and the other one was the one that was ready to go up on the roof to be one of a gajillion, seemed like to me, trusses that were going to be a part of what the roof would lay on. And he'd basically scalloped these things away and these huge long boards to where they finally, you know, it wasn't like he was trying to like bend them or something. He was just literally carving them away to where basically eventually there is this bend in these boards. And so they're not near as, you know, they're not near as wide as they started out being, but they end up functioning in the way to basically give the roof this slope. You know, and I'm just thinking, man, this is incredible. You know, and you know, he's taking something that God created, and then he's using it and fashioning it into building something that's amazing to me. And I just think about, like, that baby Jesus, that little child that came, that we celebrate the birth of at this time of year, who lay in a manger, he created everything around him when he was born into the world. He'd already created all of that. He'd already conceived every bit of it. There was no surprises for him. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, somebody gave Jesus a present, like, on his 8th birthday. Like, oh, thanks. You didn't need to wrap it. I already knew. You know, I'm Jesus, right? You know? And I think to myself about, like, the things in my life that I have attempted to build or put together or fix. You know, I'm into more like the restoration thing, taking something old and trying to make it usable again or whatever. You know, but just even in that, like, how frustrating it is when something that I have built doesn't work out like to my plan. And I just think about what it would have been like to have been Christ and to be born into this world. You made it all. Spoke it all into existence. And to know that your creation was going to kill you. Verse 17 says this, and I'm not going to break down much for the rest of this passage, because we're going to talk about it more next week. Verse 17 says, "And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together." That is absolutely amazing. It's like super glue Jesus right there, okay? And in verse 18, "And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God is pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of the cross." I'd love to talk about that stuff. We're going to talk about that stuff next week. John 1 says this. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Okay, but don't get confused, and I want you to recognize that the word, don't get confused there either, is capitalized, okay? "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God," okay? He, talking about the same word, you still with me on that one, hopefully, okay? Word and he there being the same thing. He was in the beginning with God. So we know that God didn't create him like we could have possibly have believed with trying to understand the text before what we were just looking at here just a minute ago. He was in the beginning with God. In verse 3 it says this, "All things," check this out, "all things were made through him." We've read that before, right? "And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." So, if there's any confusion up to this point, we're talking about Jesus. We're talking about how Jesus was with God in the beginning, and all things were made through him. And if you're still wondering, well, I'm not sure that I really buy into that, if you go down to verse 14 of same John 1, verse 14 says this, "And the Word became flesh," again, Word is capitalized, "and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." It's Jesus. I mean, there's no doubt. Jesus himself created all things. And so, as we go through this Christmas season, these next several weeks, as we see this image that we will see from time to time at our house, we've already watched Charlie Brown Christmas a couple of times. We've even backtracked and gone to the Great Pumpkin again. That's what happens when you have them all, I guess, you know. But, you know, I mean, even there, as we hear and we see and think about this baby that was born, the reasoning behind him being born was to come and to save and to set things right in a world that was disrupted by sin. But it was all part of a plan for creation. Jesus created it all. And he knew. He knew coming into the world that they were going to kill him. That we were going to kill him. That we would murder him. That we would hang him on a tree. And that his blood would flow down. And I can't help but wonder, like, I mean, here was baby Jesus, fully God, yet fully man. And what it must have been like to know what your creation was going to do to you. I mean, I have a bad day if I'm trying to fix something and I didn't even build it, you know? I've got this phone, and I love my phone and all. But let me just tell you a little bit about my phone. I believe in the creator that creates this type of phone. Like, I think that they make incredible products. And so, you know, great of a phone as it is, I have an issue, not as the creator, but as the consumer who buys the phone and uses it, and that is that I perpetually drop my phone. Okay? I'm sure that none of you have this problem. And wouldn't you know that, like, on you know, I take the case off my phone for like 2 days, and I won't get into why, it's silly, but I take the case off, and while I have the case off, I'm out in my driveway and I'm taking a picture of a car that I was trying to sell at the time, and in just this 2-day window that I have my phone out of its case, I drop it on the concrete, and it's busted. Now, it's just shattered. You know, I've got like little shards of glass, like, you know, fall off of it. My kids are like chewing on it and stuff. It's pretty awesome. And you know, but then yesterday, like, I'm running out of the house real quick, and I don't even know how this happened, but somehow, like, I'll drop my phone in rushing out of the house on our hardwood floor, and the case comes off, and when it does, it shatters the back of the phone. I didn't even know that you could do that. Of course, you should be able to. It's glass, right? So now I've got this awesome phone, you know, that I refuse to buy one of, but like every 10 years, I try to go as long as I possibly can with them. And now it's like, you know, it's just like an accident waiting to happen. You know, here's the issue with my phone. You know, it's getting older, and like this week it starts muting itself now when I talk to people, which is awesome. You know, but at the end of the day, I know that it's not the creator's fault that the phone is this way. It's my fault that the phone is this way. Because I have used it and abused it. And I think to myself, you know, what as the creator of the universe did Jesus feel being born into this world, knowing what would happen? We buy products from companies that we trust, don't we? Because we trust that they're going to make something good. Let me ask you a question. Are you trusting in God with your life? With everything across the board in your life right now? Because you think about this for just a second. The creator of the world who created us has promised us and proved to us that his promises are good. And his promises are true. And he's told us and even said, don't worry, don't be anxious. Don't be caught up in those things, but trust in me. I'm your creator. I created you. I've got this. And yet we don't trust at times, do we? I'll confess right now. I have struggled this week with worrying about stuff that I can't do anything about. I have worried this week. I've been in, I mean, like, to the point I'm in sin about it. I mean, we know in Philippians that it says, don't worry, don't be anxious, you know, all that stuff. I confess to you today, I've struggled with that this week. And at the end of the day, what that comes down to is I am not trusting that Jesus is enough. I'm not trusting that God has got this. And I know we all do it. But it's convicting when we think about that the Creator, that little baby that was born, that we later crucified, and He overcame death through resurrecting from a grave. That's our Creator, and we can trust in Him. And that ought to be encouraging us today. And it ought to challenge us, but you know, it should challenge us in a way that is good. It's good for us. It's freeing. Because otherwise we're being slave to sin, right? That's what the other is. Psalm 33:8 says this, and just, you can read it off the screen. Psalm 33:8. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. That's our Creator. Speaking things into existence, doing what we can't do, and yet we'll struggle to trust. So what's the gospel say to this? Here's what the gospel says. He's the Creator. We're the created. He did all of this for us. And how did we respond? Luke 23:21 is how we responded. Luke 23:21 says simply, and this is in the middle of Jesus just about to be taken to the cross. But they kept shouting, crucify, crucify Him. That's our response. We crucified our Creator, that little baby Jesus. We killed Him. So why? Here's why. Because He created all of His creation for Him. And to redeem His creation, He sent, God the Father sent His Son to be that baby, to be that sacrifice, that He might overcome death. Because you and I couldn't. So that we might have a second chance at being able to live for Him. Remember those words, right? For Him. That our lives would be for Him. That our lives would cease to be about us and for me. And they would be about for Him. God sent His Son to die for us. That we might be forgiven of our sin. It would have been null and void if it ended there. But after they killed Him, He overcame death to prove that death couldn't keep Him and sin couldn't hold Him. And it is in Him that we are made righteous before God. See, you and I, even knowing Christ, we're still not perfect. We're still idiot sinners. At the end of the day. But here's the beauty of it. Through Christ, in the eyes of God the Father, we have been made righteous. We have been made perfect. Because now when He sees us, He sees Jesus. And Jesus is perfect. Jesus paid it all because we couldn't. Jesus did for us what we could not do. And this morning, you're in one of two places. You may know Him today, and you may be sitting here going, you know what? I've not really been a great part of being God's creation. You may be, if you're like me, you're probably going, man, I've got a long way to go. God's still working on me. I should be about Him. I should be for Him, and I'm too much about for me. Or, you may be here this morning and you may be able to say, you know what, I've never been saved by the blood of Jesus. I have never found out what it means to be redeemed of my sin, to be forgiven, to get that second chance. And I just want you to know something, that that can happen for you today. And that if God is speaking to your heart about that today, you should listen. And we would love to talk to you about it at the end of the service.